It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrecht, Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers over there. We're rocking and rolling here on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, a tradition that... Well, Paul and I will die on that hill. We're trying to start a style trend, and if we're the only ones, that's just fine with us. But we'll do it as we get ready to hype you up for a game three of the ALDS. Royals Yankees doesn't get any better than this in October, and we get the first playoff game at the K in 9 years tonight, and it is going to be rocking. You headed up there? I know a bunch of people are. If you're headed up there, give us a call, leave us a comment, shoot us a voice message on the Odyssey app. All you got to do if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, and this is great. If you're driving up to Kansas City and you drive out of the listening area, no worries. You've got the Odyssey app. You can listen to us that way and leave us a message there. The IHOP hotline, the good old-fashioned way to reach the program, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, which you can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. You can also leave us those video comments. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for watching on Facebook, on YouTube, and X. All kinds of different ways to take in the show, and we're here for you. Coming up on the program today, we will talk with Sharias Latta, our KU insider, KU beat reporter for the Kansas City Star. He just sat down with Travis Goff, so we'll recap that conversation he had as the program is nowhere near where it thought it would be on October 9th of 2024. We'll get the latest there. We'll also bring in Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul, top of the second hour for his biweekly visit. We'll get caught up on the Shockers and get the latest on one of the key basketball players and his quest to gain eligibility, if you will, from the NCAA. Also, I want to get Kevin's thoughts yesterday, a court ruling, some money being divvied up. What does that mean for the Shockers? Most of what we're reading about has to do with football, but a lot of it has to do with college basketball tournaments. So we'll get Kevin's thoughts on that. What do they know, if anything, yet, as that court case was decided yesterday? So that's coming up on the program. Your calls, your comments. We'll talk a little Chiefs. We'll talk a little NFL. Of course, the Robert Saleh news is about all you've seen nationally. The juicy Saleh news. We touched on it for just a second yesterday. We were kind of too busy. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit today. We have a quarterback controversy with the top team in the country, Texas. We'll get into that as well. Get you ready for it all. Paul, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Happy Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. It couldn't be better. I think we're going to have a good show today because there's a great variety of topics. I like these kind of days where you got a lot of things to choose from. Unfortunately, there's going to be some stories we leave out, but man, oh man, what an interesting Wednesday to do a sports talk radio show.
I mean, honestly, on a day like today, Paul, we could crumple everything up, throw it in the trash, and talk Royals for 2 hours.
Well,
I mean, it is.
You could do that
too. It is buzzing, you know, like it's, it is. It's been almost a decade since fans have been able to go to the K and watch a playoff game, which seems impossible after we went through 2014, 2015, even the couple years after. never thought it would take this long to get back there.
Right.
And they're back there and they got a great opportunity tonight. We'll get into that. A couple other things. We'll give away a little HTO, as we always do.
Good.
Iced tea and coffee. We're also going to give away some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets. That opener is coming up in 9 days. So we'll get you a chance to get some tickets to some hockey. Always a good time there with the Thunder. It's going to be a fun show. Let's start, Paul, with the Royals here as we get ready now for a game three. We saw two game threes last night in Major League Baseball. The two home teams won. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. The Mets win convincingly over the Phillies. And the Padres and Dodgers play another wild, drunk playoff baseball game that is just energetic and loud and crazy. I would guess that what we see out of the Padres faithful is similar to what we'll probably see out of the Royals faithful tonight for very different reasons. But Paul, I cannot wait to see the energy tonight that's coming from the K. Fans have waited a long time for this. Mm-hmm. You got a chance to take down the hated Yankees here in the AL. Everybody hates the Yankees, right? Unless you're a Yankees fan, everybody hates the Yankees. Kind of like the Cowboys, kind of like the Lakers. You know, they're that team. And here come the little old Royals, right? 106 losses a year ago. Here they are, kind of limp into the postseason a little bit. Boy, they've been red hot. They ought to be up 2-0 in this series. It's tied 1-1. Critical game, obviously. I think the team coming back home in a 1-1 tie of a five-game series wins at about 60% of the time. Now, I never like those stats too much. You know, it's all eye of the beholder. How does the pitching line up and all of those things? Pitching lines up pretty good for both teams, Paul. So it's, you know, it's even. The Royals are, I mean, it's basically a pick 'em tonight as far as a betting line. I think we know that it's going to be it's probably going to be a short outing for Lugo. They're not giving much of a leash. I hope it's not. That means he's a game Lugo. And here we go. We're ready for a game three. And Paul, it doesn't get any better than this.
Yes, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to really answer your question for you. Here's the question. If I had told you at the beginning of the year, or maybe let's say late fall, maybe the first of the year, I would have said, you know, the Kansas City Royals will be able to beat the New York Yankees in a five-game series and win at home. Win at home. Am I crazy? Let me answer the question for you.
Did you ask me that question?
I wanted to ask you that because if I would have said, yeah, I'm predicting that the New York Yankees will come into Kansas City for game three and four of a playoff, and the Royals win that series at home, you would have said I'm crazy. Crazy.
No, I mean,
well,
I wouldn't
yes,
have.
You would.
If you would have asked me in May or June, I wouldn't have. We have been on board, and I've got receipts. I've got a bet on them, an early season 200-1 odds to win the World Series bet. It became pretty clear to me that this team had a real shot if they could get there. It was more about, for me, it was more about if they can get there than when they get there. Because the way their starting pitching has gone all year, you loved them if they can get there. You just didn't know if they'd have enough ammo to get there, and they have. So, look, I like them. I think they line up. I think and it's the bullpen. Now, if you said, Paul, to me, you know, late in the season, the Royals will come into, you know, their fifth game of the postseason here with the strength of the team thus far being the bullpen, and it's lights out performances across the board, that's when I would have called you crazy. I'd have said you're nuts. There's no chance.
I knew you'd
There's
call
no
me,
chance that would be the case.
I knew you'd call me crazy somewhere along this radio show. That's for darn sure. But with that being said, it's a phenomenon that's just unbelievable. And, you know, one of my observations is, and this is just anecdotal, I mean, I can't prove it or anything, but, you know, I have seen probably 6-7 Kansas City Royal caps being worn by individuals. And I look at that and I think to myself, you know, you see that over the course of, say, a couple of days, and you think to yourself, I'd have never seen these things. I didn't even see them during the regular season half the time. And in the past couple of years, we hardly saw them at all. And I thought to myself, you know, people appreciate a winner. People appreciate this baseball team. People like this baseball team. Because part of the thing is that the guys, the superstars, the Witts, the Salvies, all these are guys you can identify with. These are guys that you like, you want to root for. And that's the beautiful thing about Kansas City right now is that when you look at this roster, there's a lot of good guys. There's a lot of overachieving with a lot of guys. You know, the Bobby Witts, the Salvies, we all expect them to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. They will get done with what they've got to do. We expect that. We're assured that they'll get that. And they hardly ever let us down in that area. So I'm just saying that this is a series with the New York Yankees because there's nobody else you'd rather beat. There was no one else that I would rather beat. And part of it is our good buddy Joe Rocco is a diehard, you know, New York Yankees fan. Come on. I mean, you know, Bronx, all that. Well, he is. He's not ever going to change. He's just not going to change. We just can't fix him. I mean, I've sent him off to, like, concentration camps, and, I can't get him corrected. But what the point being is that who else would you rather see in this series? My only regret is we talked with our Kansas City Royals insider yesterday. I'd have just liked to have seen a seven-game series. That's what I'd like to have seen. But if the problem with a seven-game series is the Judge wake up, maybe Judge clicks it back into gear, and then this becomes a little bit of a different series. Right now, I mean, particularly in game two in New York, I mean, you know, he's not doing a whole lot. He ekes out one hit, you know, and it's just barely a hit, and he beats out an inside roller on, you know, for a single, and he barely beat it out. So, I mean, you know, what happens when Judge comes alive, his bat gets back to a certain extent, it's going to be an interesting thing. But I'll tell you what, the Royals are playing so well, and relief pitching, as you have said, has been outstanding. Listen, I'm not going to be shocked to see the Royals wrap up this thing at home. All in two wins, and they're moving on.
I agree. I don't know if I think they'll get it done in two games or three games. I think they'll get it done, though.
You don't want to go back to New York. You don't want it. You don't.
I don't care. You know, I don't really care for this team. They already went to New York.
Well,
and with Reagans and won the game.
Well, this is a story.
But yeah, I'd rather see him win it at home. Well, of course, I would.
You don't want to roll the dice because this is good conversation for this radio show. Are you kidding? How much fun have we had in the last three, 4 weeks with regards to, you know, talking about the Kansas City Royals? So you want to see it? Of course, we wanted to see it go on. But you know, who else would we rather be playing right at this moment than the New York Yankees? For God's sakes, the dreaded New York Yankees.
Yeah, look, Austin chimes in, says, you know, I'm looking at Jazz Chisholm. I'm trying to find what Jazz Chisholm said. Something to the effect of not fearing the Royals, which is fine. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me. Austin says, when are these teams going to stop poking the bear of Kansas City team, Cincinnati, Jazz Chisholm? He's talking about the Bengals. When will they learn? Teams are confident. I'd rather my team be confident, right? Like, you'd like to see them deflect, maybe like Patrick Mahomes. But if a player gets up there and is like, yeah, I'm confident our team's going to beat that team, would you rather him get up there and say, you know what? I think it's too much. I think we're going to lose. We're pretty scared to go back there. They're not going to say that.
Hey, no. Jake, don't Jacob,
bother me.
No.
Yeah.
Real quick, do you want to hear what he said? I have it.
Yes, I do. Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
Ooh. Now, I was fine with everything until the last sentence
Till the lucky thing.
They just
thing.
Got lucky.
That was it.
You can use that. Austin, I'll concede that. That was dumb. That was a dumb thing to say.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, everything was fine until they got lucky. That's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. The Royals are going to use that a little more than normal. So thank you, Austin, for pointing that out. And thanks, Jad, for having that ready. Let's take a look at the pitching matchup tonight when we return. We got Shreyas Lotta coming up this hour as well. Kevin Saul joins us top of next hour. I appreciate Prayer Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here. Although, you know, the energy's not needed on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday in which we get the first Royals home playoff baseball game in about a decade. We got the energy today. It's all Brockton Savage. We'll be right back.
97.5 and 1240 K. Back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Royals are in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and they're available for free to listen to right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in tonight. Coverage begins at 5:30 as the Royals look to even the series, take advantage in the series back at home at the K. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time as well. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club, a great place with a 6 p.m. first pitch tonight. To go out and watch the Royals, have a couple beers, have some wings, great bar and restaurant there at Crestview. Check it out. Check out the facilities. Think about all those different memberships they've got. Tell them we sent you there here from Sports Daily. Paul, we look at a pitching matchup. So you've got Lugo going for the Royals. He has faced the Yankees twice this year. And in those two games, he had one really, really good start. Most recently, that was in New York in September. He went 7 innings, struck out 10, allowed no runs, only allowed 3 hits in the 7. He also played against them and pitched against them at the K way back in early June. Not as good. Still made it 7 innings, gave up 4 earned runs through 7. I don't think they would give him that long of a leash if he's given up 4 runs and 8 hits. So a couple of starts for Lugo. He's at least got a little experience with this lineup. Maybe you take away the gains he was able to make in his second start against them. And then you look at Clark Schmidt, and he has not started against the Royals this year. His last few times out will take away. So he doesn't typically get deep into games. He hasn't gone more than 5 innings since May 16th, Paul. In his last, let's just look at the month of September. He got up to 5 2/3, I should say, on September. He hadn't reached 6 innings since May 16th. But he's been pretty good. He gives up some runs, though. His most recent start, his last start of the season, came against Pittsburgh. He gave up 4 runs in 4 innings. When I look at all of this on paper, it's a pitching matchup. It ought to be a pitching matchup for the Royals tonight. When you look at Schmidt and Lugo, Schmidt has been pretty hittable. He walks guys. He had 4 walks in his last start. He had 3 walks. He has had 8 walks over his last 3 starts. So patience will be key. He has been able to strike guys out. That is not something that the Royals do. They're one of the best teams in baseball at not striking out. It feels like a pretty sizable pitching advantage to start things off for the Royals tonight.
I like that, and you're exactly right. I mean, right now at this point, who would you rather have on the mound right now than Lugo? I think you'd say Lugo, wouldn't you?
Reagan's has been good.
Yeah, but I would
give a slight nod to Reagan's probably, but it's not much because Lugo's capable, Paul,
yes,
of those
is.
Magical starts, of getting you deep into a game, of all his pitches working. Now, he's also probably a little bit more capable of a dud start at this point.
Well.
But it hasn't been much, right? He hasn't had one of those. Oh, you look at his start in mid September, that Detroit start where he gave up 4 runs in 4 2/3. Other than that one, though, Paul, he had put in his last start, you can throw in the trash can, that 2 inning, basically just stay loose start against the Braves. But other than that, he had gone, that was the only not really good start in 5 starts. He seems to have found his groove. You know, he came out of the All-Star break and was kind of stumbling through there August. And then August 30th, things seemed to click. It was a start in Houston where he was consistently giving them 7 innings. You know, 4 out of his last 5 starts, he was able to do that. And in fact, it was 5 out of his last 7 starts, he was able to do that. So he's been really good far more often than he's been shaky. I like that he's been able to pitch to this team and against this team 2 times. I think that's a good thing for a guy like Lugo, who is, a cerebral pitcher, a lot of pitches. He'll have, some history and some research to use against this, what can be deadly lineup. I mean, that's the fear when you play the Yankees, right, is they just kill you with home runs. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden things get away from you. Mm-hmm. The spacious ballpark here. But that's what you worry about a little bit. But I think if we look at it, we're being honest. I don't think there's anybody in the world that wouldn't tell you on paper going into this that it's not an advantage in the pitching department to Kansas City.
That's right. And, of course, the atmosphere, I mean, you and I have both. I haven't been to near as many, you know, big games in the K as you've been to, but I've been to a few of them that were pretty good size. And, you know, the crowds were, you know, close to sellouts, and the atmosphere can be pretty good at the K. And, you know, you throw that in with, you know, I just think to myself, here you are, you have a chance to, you know, close out at home the New York Yankees and move on. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, this is, you know, you get up for those kind of things. Because baseball's not the kind, it's not like a football deal where you rah, 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 let's go play the game. You play once a week in football, and you play, you know, every day in baseball practically with a few days off. But, you know, just what an atmosphere it's going to be. And for the fans, I think for the fans, just think. I mean, there's been a lot of diehard Royals fans that in the last few years they've put up with a lot, haven't they, Jacob? Put up with a lot. And now here you are, a chance to close out the New York Yankees. I want to see the closeout in Kansas City. That's what I want to see.
I would take a win tonight and a win tomorrow.
And a win tomorrow night.
I'm almost taking coach speak. I don't even want to think about tomorrow yet. Because
Coach
this
speak.
One is, you know, this one is big. And again, one of the things that I really like about the Royals and their chances in this postseason is it's hard for me, unless they got into a 7-game series down 3-0, it's hard for me to imagine them ever needing to press. They're just not in their DNA. It's not necessary. So regardless of tonight, that's what I mean. Just this one, let's see what happens here. I think it's advantage Royals. Vegas has it as a pick'em. It's the first time in this postseason the Royals are not underdogs, which is interesting. And they're not favorites. It's just a pick'em, right? They're not. You know, it is what it is. So we'll have it for you here on KFH. Much more on this game as we make our way through. We're going to take a pause here, and we're going to come back. Trius Lotta sat down with Travis Goff for the KC Star to talk about the state of the football program. Heading into the bye week, good timing there. We'll get Shreyas's take on that. Anything to be excited about with KU basketball as well? That's our KU insider, Shreyas Lotta. He joins us next on Sports Daily.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreyas Lotta.
All right, and we are welcoming you back into Sports Daily on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Shreyas Lotta joining the program, and we are happy to have Shreyas here. It's great timing for us as Shreyas is wrapped up and put a story out right now about a conversation with KU Athletic Director Travis Goff. That story dropped, what, about an hour ago, Shreyas? You can find it by following Shreyas on X at SHRE98. Of course, find it at the KC Star, and we'll talk about it here to give you a little appetizer of it. Shreyas, this kind of a conversation everybody's wanting to have right now. There's an anger around KU football, but I think bigger than that, there's maybe a fear of apathy around KU football, and I'm glad you were able to ask that particular person about it, because I do think it's the greatest danger of this really unfortunate start to the football season.
Yeah, I think 100%. I think it's interesting. You know, Goff remains optimistic. He said he's an optimistic person by nature, so I get it. I think it's one of those things that, you know, this season, and he admitted to it, is disappointing. And whatever happens the rest of the way, they're on the verge of being eliminated from bowl contention. Basically, that means they got to win out, it feels like. You know, he talked about it. You know, he understands the fans' frustrations. And I think he made a really good point in the sense of, you know, fans are frustrated because they care. I think back in the day, you know, maybe even 5-10 years ago, I don't think fans would have cared this much, you know, about KU football being bad. And I think that in itself is a sign of progress of how far KU football has come. You know, he talked about, you know, the foundations that they've laid down will prevent cracks from forming and stuff like that. I think that's interesting because at the end of the day, that's great. you know, maybe they don't go back to some of the things that came out in the last mile or David Beatty or whatever era. But I think he said it best, and I agree with the sentiment, is we measure things in wins and losses. And if they're not winning next year, which I don't think they're going to win a ton next year with the amount of roster turnover and all that, and they're not winning this year, how much patience do people really have for KU football to be bad?
Well, and if you look at next year, there is a path to turning it around quickly, but that path is largely dependent on the support of the fan base through NIL. And so, you know, one of the pieces of that fear of creeping back toward what it was is that the fans won't be motivated to show up to do the things they need to do for a quick turnaround to get players in, all of those things. That becomes the challenge now is, okay, if this year doesn't make a bowl game, all those things, and I read in your story that, you know, the stadium is in no danger and it will open in August of 2025 and all those things, okay, are fans going to help you field a good team? Because that's the road where, you know, that's the path we're traveling now in college football, is you have to be able to go get guys. And, you know, will fans be motivated to go replace and help with the turnover of this roster? You're already asking those fans to help you build a football stadium. I'm concerned that there is a tap out at some point and be like, I've had enough here.
No, I think that's completely, you know, valid concern. And it's something that I, you know, looking back and reflecting on the interview with Goff, I think there were moments when I went back and listened, I was like, I should have pushed him a little bit more on this. You know, because you're in the moment, you know, you have a 30-minute interview and you're like, okay, you push a little bit, you push back. You know, it's my editor said it best yesterday. It's a little bit of a boxing match, right? You know, you're going in, he's coming in prepared, I'm coming in prepared. And he, you know, me and Travis have a good relationship, but any, you know, interview where you're coming in and talking about a team that is sitting at 1-5, when everybody, including him, me, you guys, everybody associated around covering, you know, Kansas football thought they'd be much better than they were. You know, it's where they're at is disappointing. And I think, you know, I didn't mention this in the story. I'll probably have something on this later, but he talked about it, you know, with NIL. He says he feels confident about it. He's talking about, you know, Kansas has two things that I think what every player wants is playing time. That's going to be readily available next year. And NIL money. He seems pretty confident that Kansas will have the NIL money to replenish the team that's going to be gone after this year. I mean, what, they have 15, 16 starters that will leave, 30 seniors in total. You know, and I was discussing this with a friend of mine. You know, it's interesting to see what happens because Jalen Daniels has another year. Is he going to come back? Or will he enter the transfer portal? And honestly, objectively saying this, not based on the inside info or, you know, whatever, but it doesn't seem like it makes a ton of sense if they win 3 to 5 games total for him to come back next year, in my opinion, for either party.
Well, you know, I've decided to push you. I'm going to push you and push you and push you. Right now, Sharice, are you ready to be pushed? Because I'm going to ask you, well, first of all, about the NIL and Jalen Daniels is, come on now, enough NIL, and you come back. You will come back if the money is right. Come on. We all know that. Money talks, and you know what walks. But I'm going to push you on this right here, right now, because I look at the remaining schedule with Houston, Kansas State, Iowa State, BYU, Colorado, Baylor. You know, if the University of Kansas does not beat Houston this weekend, I'm going to make a statement. If KU doesn't beat Houston, this next week, not this week, next week, if they don't beat Houston, who do they win? Who do they beat? Where will they get a win? Because I'm not sure that I can predict that KU can beat any of these teams. What happens to this team if they what happens if they don't beat Houston this coming week or this following week after this weekend?
Well, you know, if they don't beat Houston this week or this next week, you can stick a fork in them because they're done. Bowl contention is out of the window at that point, so it doesn't matter, right? You know, I'm looking at the remaining schedule, and the only two games I'd see that they could win is potentially is that Colorado game and Arrowhead or the Baylor game. But that's on the road, I think, if I remember correctly. Those are two games that'll be a toss-up potentially. I mean, I'd lean probably Colorado and Baylor if at that point you're losing to Houston. You know, the season's done. You know, Houston is not a good team. You know, I think one of the most disappointing things, if you're a KU fan, and I'm not, but just looking at it from the outside in, is – like the way they've lost has probably been the most frustrating thing. You know, you can point to 4 out of the last 5 games where they were right there until the end. And I think about it, you know, like that just certain, like 1 or 2 things change. And we're talking about one of the best starts of Kansas football history instead of, wow, they need to fire everybody. Everyone needs to be let go. We got to bench this guy, bench that guy. You know, the perception of it is so dependent on like 1 or 2 things. And I know that's, you know, disingenuous to say in the sense of like, you know, everyone can say that, but every game ever, right? 1 or 2 things change, something can be different, whatever. But Kansas's way they're losing is a constant way they are losing. You know, like they're doing it in a way like, you know, they're giving up first half, you know, touchdowns. I think they've been outscored like 38-0 in like the last 90 seconds of the first half. They're struggling to contain. Like these are patterns of behavior. It's not just one thing. And, you know, like that's why it's hard for me to sit there and tell you that they're definitively going to win a game the rest of the year, because up to this point, I had them winning multiple games. You know, I was talking to Carter Stanley about this, you know, like even the most, I think, downtrodden KU fan probably had them sitting with at least 3 wins at this point.
Well, sure. Yeah, there's no question. Treus Lotta joining us at SHRE98 on X, KU beat reporter for the KC Star. Yeah, look, I look back, and the consistency is that they blow these leads. I get it. But there for a while, we thought, okay, is it the offensive coordinator to blame? Is it Jalen Daniels to blame? And they both had their share. They were both good against Arizona State. That was easily Daniels' best game of the year. And you put up 31 points, and the offense was clicking as well as it has, you know, at least from, you know, from a passing game, running game combination. They were balanced. Everything was good. They had 411 yards in the game, and they still find a way to lose to Arizona State 35-31. Now, the Sun Devils may be better. They probably are than we thought they'd be. But it's the same thing. Now, okay, we can't blame Grimes and Daniels for that one. All right, they were good in that game. So now who do you blame? Like, you know, like what well, it's just one thing after another.
It absolutely is. And I think, you know, I'd mentioned this to a friend of mine. It was like, you know, every time it seems like they've solved something, another problem arises. You know, it's like, you know, when you fix a leak and you patch it up with some duct tape or whatever, you know, silly putty, and it works for a little bit. And then another league comes in another area and you're like, oh, my God, I gotta get rid of that thing. It feels like that with KU football right now. They're just using duct tape to patch up something that systematically right now is not working on either end of on you know, the ball. We can sit there and say Jeff Grimes and Jalen Daniels had one good game out of the last 6. That systematically means it's not working. Brian Borland's had 3 good games out of the last 6. That's systematically, that means it's not working. And if Kansas coach Lance Leipold is not ready to make the changes to something with this team this season, I mean, effectively almost over anyways, but it's, you know, what's worthwhile for this season at this point? You know, might as well just put Isaiah Marshall in the last 4 games, see what you have in him as a quarterback, right? Because Jalen's not going to come back next year, most likely, if they're sitting there with 3 wins. Why would you come back in your last year when you want to go to the NFL, you know, with an offensive coordinator that clearly doesn't utilize your skill set as well as Andy Kotelnicki did? And clearly there's a rust thing. You know, tomorrow, if Jalen Daniels transferred to like an Oregon or a Washington or, you know, a USC or Nevada or wherever, and he pops off, I wouldn't even be surprised, right? Because they're utilizing his strengths and his this thing, play style and all that. And also, you're another year removed from that back injury that he suffered last year, right? So at this point, everything with this season hangs in the balance with the Houston game. And I know we say this every week. Oh, my God, Kansas needs to win. Kansas needs to win. But like, if they don't win this week, I don't expect Kansas fans to show up against Colorado or Iowa State. I expect it to be outnumbered both ends. They said to me it was 47,000 for attendance. I don't know if that number is entirely correct.
That's how many tickets they sold. Not how many people.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I was in that stadium, you know, 10 minutes before I posted a video. Obviously, Kansas fans showed up late usually to most games. So like, you know, they filled out decently well. But, you know, like in a 78,000 person stadium, you can see a difference in 30, 35, you know, 40,000 seats being open. How much more will that be if Kansas is sitting at 1 win and you're playing Colorado? Are Colorado fans going to even travel for that game? I don't know if they will.
Depends on what they do this weekend, probably.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Iowa State fans, I mean, they travel really well, but maybe don't travel as much because of Kansas not being what Kansas is. You know, the funniest thing I think that could happen the rest of the way, as somebody who's a reporter, is they don't win another game except Kansas State. Objectively, that would be a little funny.
Well, look, they're good. That's the thing. And I'm optimistic too, in maybe a little different role than Travis Goff, obviously. But I do think, by and large part, the players are there. You know, the things are there that we all liked going into the season. I don't even really care about a bowl game as much, and maybe KU fans care more about that than I do. It's just, can this team get to the point where they're playing well and winning these games? That, you know, at some point you refocus and that can be enough, but it has to come now, and it has to come multiple times to sort of reignite you. Because I would say this too. It wasn't that long ago that, you know, 3, 4, 5 wins, whatever it was exciting for KU fans. When KU fans think their team has a chance to go in there and win a game, they're there. They're up for it. That's what I've learned in a decade here. The problem right now is nobody feels like they're going to win the game. That's the problem. Nobody felt like they were going to stop Arizona State on the final drive. Nobody thought they were going to take the ball down the field against UNLV and go get that win. People aren't confident that this team's going to win. That's the problem. They can fix that by winning a couple of games, even if they don't make a bowl game. Just win a couple games and let people know, hey, we can go win these games. Of course they can, because they keep finding tragically, you know, heartbreaking ways to lose them. They can win them, and they just got to do it. It's wild. Shreyas, we appreciate the conversation. Appreciate your conversation with Travis Goff. Again, we'd point people to the Kansas City Star to find that. You can get it. It just dropped a little bit ago. Appreciate it. Hopefully with a week off, whatever it is, can be corrected, and we can get the buzz going back. Who, you know, it's not going to be the college football playoff or any of those things. Maybe it can be a bowl game. Doesn't matter. Just win some games.
No, I think that's the proper sentiment. And just kind of adding on to that, I'll have another story about some. I talked to Travis about the KU football coaches that left.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty interesting conversation because obviously Anacondonicky was talked about. So sure, That'll probably come out tomorrow.
Sorry I pushed you so hard, Shreyas. I didn't mean to push you that hard. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I had no issues with it. I'm always, you know, I'll say what's on my mind. To be honest with you, I don't know if they're going to win another game.
I'm just playing with you. You're fun. You're Jalen a fun Daniels, guy.
That Jalen Daniels eligibility is interesting, and I think – you know, what happens in these final games probably does impact that. All right, Shreyas Lotta, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's good. Go check out the story. I mean, I don't know what to say to KU fans. I'm friends with a lot of them. We have conversations all the time. There is a feeling of no hope right now. None. That can be corrected. Well, that can be corrected. But they got to start winning some games. Winning some of these games.
Well, thank you
for that. No, but it's not just obvious. What I mean is, like, it doesn't have to be winning all of them. It doesn't have to be bowl game. It has to be when you wake up on a Saturday, you're making your plans for the weekend, thinking about, do I have a chance to watch KU win this game? If I'm going to drive up to Lawrence, are they going to win this game? Those are the things, like, you can still, like, if that confidence can come with a 4-5 win team. If people believe that they're playing better and can do it, mm-hmm. I think the talent on the roster, Paul, mm-hmm. didn't change, right? Like, you know, we all wondered what KU, K-State would look. Can you just have KU fans wonder again if they have a chance to beat K-State?
Right. That's a good question. And I'm going to ask you a quick question too. A two-pronged question, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Does the University of Kansas want Jalen back, or would you think it might be beneficial to maybe
it's turn too early.
The pet turn too early?
It's too early. I would say it's too early. I would say they'd need to evaluate. If it doesn't get markedly better, they're going to have to make a decision on whether they want to change, you know, in the coaching staff or with Jalen. If it doesn't get better, you can't bring both back. So I suppose at that point, if you're Leipold and the decision makers, you've got to decide which direction you want to go there. So I would say it's probably still too early. Daniels was good against Arizona State. Best game of the year for him. Not even really close. Was it, you know, was it peak Jalen Daniels? No, it was not. But it was much better, right? And so maybe that improvement still continues, and then you move on and you do some things. So we'll see. It's going to be a fascinating end of the year. Here we go. It's coming for us. All right. You know what else is coming for us?
What's that?
Kevin Saul in the second hour.
Baby.
So we'll have that for you coming up. There's some NCAA stuff we want to pick his brain about a little bit and get the latest on, Mate, the basketball player, the international player, and what his status is. Do we have any updates there? So we'll pick his brain on both of those things. Shocker Volleyball's into conference play now as well. Before we hit the break, though, let's do our first giveaway. Let's do the hockey tickets now. So Wichita Thunder hockey is back. The home opener versus Kansas City. Friday, October 18th. KFH wants to hook you up with some tickets to enter. Just text the word Thunder to the number 20357. Another text to win contest. It's your chance to win a pair of tickets from KFH. Message and data rates apply. That's the keyword Thunder to the number 20357. Pretty simple. We'll have that for you. We'll give away some HTO in the second hour as well. When we return, Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul stops by the program. We'll have that for you, and we will get more into some other storylines in the second hour. We'll continue to talk Royals. We will talk a little NFL, too. The Saleh situation, big injury for the Texans I'm just seeing. Pop across that we'll get to. It's all coming for you at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of the program here. We are happy to be with you. It's Jacob Albrock. It's Paul Savage in for Tommy today. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Thank you to all those who celebrate with us, including Adam, who says he finally got a day off and could see these beautiful shirts we've been talking about. That's right, Adam.
Attaboy, Adam.
Gives a shout out to the Kingsville Javelinas, old conference foe of my alma mater, West Texas A&M. A little jab there. You want to talk about... People talk about travel, Paul. Oh, the travel. What do you have to fly across the country? Try driving on a bus from Canyon, Texas, down to Kingsville, Texas.
Oh, my God.
And tell me about travel.
Yeah.
People think, you know, Texas. I think people forget that the state of Texas, if you flipped it upside down, how far you'd get. Just north to south. That is a 640-mile drive.
Yeah,
Paul, 640 miles. I like that. Think about that for a minute.
Wow, that's
you want to talk about try. That is a That's a Division II conference football game. How about that?
Yeah, well,
you could get to. Let me just start, try to put that in perspective for a second. You could get from Canyon, Texas, almost to Des Moines. You could get to Canyon, Texas. To Kansas City faster than you can get from Canyon, Texas to Kingsville, Texas. Okay, so the travel. I always hear about travel. Like, come on. You know, bus it there for a baseball game in the middle of the week.
Yeah, that's right. We're not talking flying, are we? We're not talking about
not for those. Maybe for football. Yeah. Maybe for football. Anywho, Kevin Saul, we're connecting there. We'll try to get that for you at some point here in this hour. No big deal. As we make our way through it, Paul, a college football note that I want to mention here. By the way, you can call us. Let's do this. Let's tidy up So you can call us on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. That's good. Brought to you by IHOP.
Right.
Where you can celebrate the weekdays with the new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. You can do that. You can leave us video comments. We've had several of those. We'll get to a couple of those here as we make our way through the program. You can also leave us your voicemails. Ken is so far leading the clubhouse in voicemails. We've had a few people take advantage of this. Ken does pretty frequently. So here's Ken's voice message, which you can do on the Odyssey app. It's super easy. Let's hear that on the Royals. We'll comment there, then we'll get Kevin Saul in for a quick visit.
Good morning, fellas. Looking forward to the game tonight. Got to wonder what this playoff run does to the push for a new stadium.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got to get a big boost somehow. Anyway, go Royals.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I've wondered about that. I don't know if it's going to re-motivate the voters who have already voted it down, but it might motivate downtown Kansas City to find a way to get something done. And, you know, meanwhile, the state of Kansas is just going to sit here and wait. We bring in Kevin Saul now. Kevin, you a Royals fan? Are you enjoying this?
I am a Royals fan. I am very much enjoying this because you guys know as well as anybody, you could probably count on less than two hands and maybe one hand when you're watching Royals baseball deep into October.
It's been a while, 9 years since we've had an opportunity to watch it at the K. So we're looking forward to that. I like their chances. I really do. I've been saying that for a while.
They really are playing well. When you start to see guys that are outperforming their season averages and, you know, in individual games, and you see different snapshots and they're outperforming that, it certainly is encouraging. The pitching was really, really good the other day. And it's interesting because in the Saul family, my dad grew up on Long Island. So we've got a pretty good deal going on right now between the Yankees and Royals in the Saul family.
Well, that's too bad. I hope that you find success with the Royals and you twist that knife. I talked to a buddy yesterday and he said he was taking his son up there and I didn't know this. His son is a Yankees fan and he's trying to like, we can go if you'll wear a Bobby Witt Jr. And his son is holding strong to his Yankee fan. I think that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. It's an old series that has a lot of history. Kevin Saul.
No doubt. That was a Pine Tar game. Was a Yankee game, right?
Paul, that's a you question.
That's right.
It was a Yankee game.
Yep, it was.
I know.
I have a really fond memory. I know we want to get on to other things, but I have a really fond memory of the 85 World Series Game 6. I was in bed. Dad and Mom had come home from something, some sort of an outing, and Dad woke me up, and we watched the end of Game 6 on a little 13-inch color Zenith in his bedroom and watched George Brett and Willie Wilson and Frank White and Buddy Biancolana and all those guys. Steve Balboni.
It's great. There was that memory, and then there was nothing for about 35 years. And then you had the, you know, the recent run, and it took way too long to get back, but they're back. They're back. It's been such a fun season to follow. As we look at the Shockers, Kevin, a couple of things. One, any updates on Mate? We're just going to keep asking you guys this and hope for some good news. But I know it's a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah, it has been. I tell you, there's like anything else, it's not just one pathway. It's like once you expire this pathway, then you can go here, then you can go here, then you can go here. And we continue to walk our way through it. It is in process, which is a very vague way of saying that we are diligent. We're on it every day. We're pushing it to make sure that we can get to a good spot. There's been a good exchange of question and answer going back and forth. I think we're in a pretty good spot, but at the end of the day, you don't know on these things until it's done. And he's been incredibly patient. He's an unbelievable young man. He's so respectful, and he's a great locker room guy. He's a good player, and we'd love to have him as a part of our team. So process ongoing. We're ping-ponging information back and forth. We've asked for a decision sooner than later, and so we hope we're progressing through it day by day here.
I want to bring and this won't impact that, but it is something that I was in the newsroom yesterday and this came down the wire and people were asking me this settlement, the preliminary agreement on the settlement to basically free up the older players who are going to get their rake of this $2.8 billion. It's all very complicated. And I think that's less interesting to people than what it opens up moving forward, which if I read it correctly, that opens the door then for schools to sort of facilitate the NIL and pay these players. $20 million has been thrown around. Is that a football number or how does all this impact the Shockers? I can't imagine it's that budget for Wichita State without football.
Yeah, there's a cap. So if you're in the FBS Power Four conference, it's 22% of revenue capped at $20 million. That could go as revenue share. So basically what you will see happen probably effective next July, August, provided the House settlement gets finally approved in April. That's an important piece, is that the final approval on House isn't until April. So there's going to be a lot of back and forth until then. But what you'll see is there's two areas of NIL right now. There's the nonprofit side, and then there's the for-profit where you're doing advertisements for businesses and all those things. The for-profit piece will still exist post-House. Young people will still have the opportunity to go be in a Eddie's Toyota commercial or whatever the case may be. The nonprofit components of it will shift into athletics departments in the name of revenue share. And so that it's permissive legislation. You don't have to do it, but at the end of the day, if you're going to recruit and retain elite level talent, you better be in the middle of that. We won't obviously be at $20 million cap because of the football component. And we'll need to make sure that that obviously we're doing it the right way. We the collective will be distributing probably close to $1.2 million in all of our sports this year, whereas last year I think we were at about 400,000. So that's almost tripled, nice. Which has been good. We estimate that if we're going to do it the right way, it's probably going to be closer to $2.5 million. So it's going to have to double again for us, and that would be the revenue share approximation for us, $2.5 to $3 million. Again, we could go up to 20 if we wanted to, but you wouldn't do that as a non-football playing institution. So the other pieces to that still have to get ironed out between now and April 7th, guys, is Title IX, gender equity. How does revenue sharing play into all those components? Because there's an argument on both sides. The market is driven by a few sports in a specific gender in terms of that market, but you can't ignore the other side. And so if we're taking funds here and we're sticking them here with folks that hasn't necessarily earned it, then you're opening yourself up for litigation both ways. So,
do you think it's as simple as line iteming each sport and saying of those?
I do. Eventually, I do. Yeah, I think you're going to have a revenue share line in each sport, or you're going to centralize it into one particular budget area, and then you're going to separate it from the sport.
Revenue this sport generated. This is how much revenue gets shared to that sport. That seems the simplest.
You know, one of the questions, Kevin, is that comes to mind, and somebody asked me this the other day, and I didn't really have a great answer, and that was, are agents going to become involved with college athletes? Are agents going to negotiate all this stuff? Are you going to start dealing with somebody who represents one of the Wichita State players in basketball, for instance, and he's going to make the deal for that player? Where are you at? Are you starting to see any of that? Or, for instance, I guess my point would be, take your highest paid NIL person in.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Wichita State, is he negotiating his own contract, or does he have a representative doing it?
Well, Paul, I would submit to you, in obviously different levels, agents and advisors have been a part of this deal for decades. Okay. Young people, like, think about it in the sport of baseball. It's been permissive in baseball and hockey for a very long time for young people to have agents and advisors that represent them, that help them make decisions on whether or not they go draft or stay back, to help them through.
That I know. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. To help them through like a pre-draft combine, advice, those components.
Right.
What in that scenario, those agents and advisors haven't been able to represent kids to professional organizations or discuss financial components on their behalf. Now they can. So I just think it's going to be a deeper level of involvement. It varies recruit to recruit. I can tell you, and we've talked on your show, that if we're getting a call through men's basketball and in the first conversation, the young person or an agent or an advisor would reach out and immediately start talking NIL, we're moving on. Yeah. We've got to have people that want to be a part of this program that certainly will have some value and we'll take care of on the front end. And we've talked at length. Retention is more important than acquisition. And so we choose to spend those dollars on retention as opposed to a lion's share on acquisition.
One more for me on this, and then we'll get into some of the things happening there on campus. When you project needing about $2.5 million, is that equitable with the other basketball programs or the other non, if you pushed football to the side, I guess is a better way to say it, for all the other schools in the American, is that about where you would project them to be?
Yeah, and again, it's not transparent, so we're trying to read between the lines. We have relationships with like Open Doors and Influencer that have collected some aggregated data to help us look at where we are. But yeah, that's a general non-football number that would make us competitive in all of our sports. And so when you look at $2.5 million, what's that? It's probably $1 million, $1.5 million on the men's basketball side. It's probably a couple $100,000, maybe $250,000 baseball, softball. It's probably $100,000 in volleyball. It's probably $300,000 to $400,000 in women's basketball. And so you start to add all those things up and you can get to about $2.5 million.
Let's talk volleyball. This is all fascinating. We always appreciate the transparency. I think people are confused as much as anything else. So mm-hmm. we do appreciate it. Volleyball starts conference play kind of on a little heater. I know they didn't win their last one, but we know Coach Lamb schedules aggressively and all of these things. And you kind of just wait and see when it comes to conference play. A 3-1 start to conference play. I have to imagine that everybody's feeling pretty good about that, and that's the ticket into a postseason, which is always the goal. What's the level of confidence right now that volleyball can make a run?
Yeah, preseason ranked second in the league, and so our confidence level is really high. And if you talk to our coaching staff, you know, it's going to be a logjam 1 through 5. You think you've got one or two teams that might separate out in that top tier, but the 3 through 5 is going to be really tight as well. So matches like the really, really close one against Rice this past Sunday are going to be critical. You know, we beat Memphis and Temple 3-1 each, went down to UAB and swept those guys 3-0. You can see that the preseason, the scheduling, the development has really paid off from a league standpoint, and we lost a really, really close one to Rice. So the thing that I think makes all of our hair turn a little bit gray in volleyball, and I talked to Coach Lamb about, is you can play a set that's 25-23 or 28-26. You can play a 25-20, and then all of a sudden you'll have one that's a 25-15 or a 25-12, and you go, well, what happened there? You know, and volleyball is such a nuanced sport in terms of rotations and positions and that strategy component of it. But at the end of the day, really, really close, came down to 5 sets. Those are the matches we're going to need to win a regular season championship. And then obviously we host the postseason American Athletic Conference Championship in November as well. So we'll have an opportunity to win a championship and go to the NCAA tournament on our home floor.
I'm going to switch over to men's basketball for just a minute, Kevin, if you don't mind, because something going on with the men's basketball team I find fascinating, and that is a thing that you guys call a focus on the Final Four. In other words, we're not talking about the Final Four in April. We're talking about the final 4 minutes of every basketball game, because a lot of games, as you and I and Jacob, we understand, a lot of basketball games are won or lost in the final 4 minutes. And I find this a fascinating deal. Give me a synopsis of what the final 4 minutes means, and what is Wichita State doing with that coaching staff with regards to an emphasis on the final four. I find that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's a combination of technical skills and abilities. It's a combination of basketball IQ, so the mental side of it as well. And whether it's skills, drills, team activities, the physical demanding week that they had in the weight room and doing all those different things, is trying to push yourself to get it's not dissimilar to the fourth quarter that you see in football. It's like, you know, we look at I think there's stats last year that we were I'm probably going to be off on this just a little bit. I think we were 3-8 last year when within 5 Ooh, points wow. with like 2 or 3 minutes to go in the game. And so obviously you got to flip that. You win 15 games last year and you flip that, and all of a sudden you're a 20 game winner and you're probably in the NIT. So as you mentioned, Paul, the last 2, 3, 4 minutes, critically important. You have the guard play where you can maintain and withhold a lead while you're trying to bleed clock? Do you hit free throws well? It's all the mental and technical skills and ability to be able to close out games. I had an old coach, Paul, that used to tell me there's three types of winning. There's learning how to win, which I think is what we're talking about now. How do you close out games and how do you win? That's one skill set. The second skill set is, how do you sustain winning? Right? Because then you bring into media components, outside distractions, hype, all those things. How do you sustain winning is another learned skill set. And then the third one is, how to win when you're supposed to, because that's a whole nother mental component to deal with. So again, I think we're learning how to play a full game, 8 sets of 4 minutes, and work our way through it.
Kevin, Shocktoberfest, last time we had you on, it was right before Shocktoberfest. How did everything go there?
Good. It was really good. The university, this is our second year doing Shocktoberfest in the fall, and we want to continue to do that to create the history and tradition and get into some rhythm. And so I think you saw a little bit more cohesiveness. You saw some more creative things around campus, but it was a full week of it. We did a really nice parade on Saturday that finished here. We did a pre-Shocker Madness tailgate that had several hundred folks. We had our teams out there as well, and really, really good. And then all that fed into Shocker Madness. So we'll continue to do that. It's been a lot of fun to partner with folks on campus.
Kevin, we appreciate it. Good luck with everything. We'll be watching volleyball, that big one. South Florida is next.
Paul, I should have said 10 sets of 4 minutes, but the week that basketball does is the 10th round. Right. So the 10th round is the last 4 minutes, but there's 10 sets of 4 minutes. So you kind of look at it as 10 individual games.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you what, you're exactly right with the philosophy. Man, oh, man, a lot of games won and lost in the last 4 minutes. I get it. No, I think that's pretty good.
And most football games will come down to 5 plays.
Ask KU. That is correct.
KU. That was kind of a little jab there, wasn't it?
Listen, we were just fresh off a conversation with Sri Islata, but it's been.
I don't care what level, guys, college, pro, whatever it is. If it's a game that's within 7 to 10 points, it probably comes down to 5 or less plays.
Yeah, that's right.
We pull our hair out.
You are right.
Sunday, betting the NFL. We're just 18 days away. Everybody, from the start of men's basketball, that exhibition with Emporia State. I know GoShockers.com has all the season ticket information. Get out there, check it out. Your home of Shocker basketball right here on KFH. We can't wait for it. Getting those calls and that energy back going here. Kevin, we appreciate it. We'll count down the days.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the opportunity, and go Shockers.
There goes Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director. You can react to any of that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, does Texas have a quarterback controversy? We'll preview the Royals a little bit more and maybe spend a little bit of time on the Robert Saleh thing, because that's, you know, what everybody seems to be talking about at the national level. Maybe we will. I do think it's interesting. On the way out, let's give away some HTO, our second text to win contest today.
Job.
You can enter the contest by texting the keyword T right now to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from. You can mix, you can match, you can do it all. It will also get you a free coffee, iced or hot, any of the special drinks. It's good for any of them. Ask the staff about their favorites, all kinds of good stuff there. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. These will be good for any of the three Wichita metro locations, east, west, or in Derby. Again, T 20357. Good luck, everybody. More Sports Daily right after this.
And 1240 KFH.
All right, let's catch our breath here a little bit on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you on this Wednesday. It's a hump day. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Get out there and celebrate everybody with us. Walk around. We'll be doing this in the dead of winter, too, by the way. Then you really get a cross look. I had, Paul, last week, I also have a an important corporate meeting that I have to get on for my wife and I's businesses, which, as everybody knows, are the HTOs. And it opens up, and the first thing I get last week was like, oh, nice shirt. what do you sell? You had it. You at the beach. Like, what are you celebrating?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you made an impression.
I've been rolling with Hawaiians 365 days a year. Well before this tradition we've created, I'm going to try and roll through my entire collection. I don't think I've repeated any yet. Here on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays, when Savage introduced the idea, I was all in, baby, all in.
It didn't take much, I remember. Not much at all.
Never miss an opportunity to let the world know you're not afraid of a good time. So here's another fun story about Hawaiian shirts. I'm going to ask both of you, Paul and Jad, keep your answer to yourself, Jad. I'll ask Paul first.
All right.
Are you aware that it means something if you wear a shirt with an upside down pineapple on it?
No, I do not believe I am aware of the meaning of an upside down pineapple. No.
Jad, are you aware of this?
I've heard of the upside down pineapple cake, but not the shirt.
Yeah, okay, no. So that makes me feel a little bit better because I have felt like I was one of the few people who didn't know this. So one of the Hawaiians, and I've worn it on this show, it's my best blue Hawaiian. I actually wear it all the time, which when I tell you this is... it adds a little flavor to that. Love this shirt. Wear it all the time. Apparently, allegedly, wearing a shirt, and listeners, you can chime in on this on our video stream or our phone lines. Apparently, an upside down pineapple on a shirt or Hawaiian shirt means that you're a swinger, means that you're ready to swing. That's like the bat signal to other swingers. Like, oh, that guy's, you know. So I've been wearing this shirt for years to kids' events, to sports games, out to the soccer fields. Like my sister-in-law, when I was back home in Texas, is the one who was like, oh, that's an interesting shirt. Well, I was at a fantasy football draft and I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. It's my Hawaiian. I like, you know, and I think, but you know, whatever, you know, you like to party. And she's like, yeah, you really do, don't you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she informed me and I'm like, oh my goodness. I have been wearing this shirt, you know, once a week for 3 years. And the messages that must have sent. Now, I'm less worried about that than I am the fact that nobody, all of these people out there have thought I was a swinger. And Paul, nobody asked,
well,
you know?
I'll tell you what.
Should I be offended by that?
No, but I'll tell you what. Jad Chambers, his eyes lit up and he says, swinger? You just brought up the word swinger and Jad's smiling and jumping up and out of
I'm
his
chair.
I'm
allowed to say that on the radio, aren't
yeah,
I, Jad?
Well, yeah, sure you can. Yeah, a lot worse been said today. But I'm going home right as soon as I get home. I'm going to check my closet because I've probably got 15 or 20 shirts. I've got to see if I have an upside down pineapple. I don't know. I just checked on this shirt. No pineapples at all on this shirt. So that would be it. But I'll tell you what, if I don't have one, by the end of next week, maybe even by the next show we do on a Wednesday, I'm going to have me a shirt with an upside down pineapple because it pays to advertise.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking on Google right now. I don't know how I didn't know this. The upside-down pineapple symbol has a very specific, it says, and sexy meaning in the world of consensual non-monogamy.
Mm.
Is commonly used as an identifier within the swingers community, mm-hmm. often displayed on clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is a big thing on cruises. Mm-hmm. I guess that's, you know, on a cruise, how you can, you know, let people know. I'm not surprised that I didn't know this. I am surprised that nobody has been confused and, you know, asked me some uncomfortable questions before.
Interesting.
I must be losing my touch there on that. But no, everybody, if you see me out in my favorite blue Hawaiian, I don't swing. Okay. Yeah. Like we're not into that game, into that world.
Right.
But, you know, no judgment there. If you are, good for you, but not for me. But I've been apparently representing myself as if I were for a very long time now.
Well, all I can say is, you know, you take a look at me. Take a look at me, Jacob. Look at me right now. Does this just kind of reek of sexiness? Come on.
Paul Savage on a cruise ship with an upside down pineapple shirt is
makes
trouble.
Sense. I'll tell you makes that. Makes sense, right doesn't
now.
It?
I'll tell you that right now. What's the old say? If that cruise ship is rocking,
don't come a knocking.
All right, I'm going to get us in trouble here.
I feel myself turn beet red just now.
Yeah, we'll switch this around. Okay. Where's Tommy? Usually these are the things I can get to embarrass Tommy really quickly and easily.
Well, so. Tommy's not bought into Wednesdays. Hawaiian Wednesdays.
No, not
shirt,
right? He's not in our Hawaiian
shirt.
He's
not done
group.
It. Yeah.
Apparently, Jad's not either. I don't think Jad's not caught on yet.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hey, you're supposed to be getting us some KFH Hawaiian shirt, Paul.
See,
that was your mission. Yes, Jad.
Paul never plays along with me, though. Every week I tell him, just tell Jacob that I'm wearing this really magnificent, beautiful Hawaiian shirt, and he won't be able to tell. I don't have a camera on me.
I would swing this camera around to show. Can I do that?
You would swing? You would do what?
Oh, for God. I was going to swing the camera around. Oh, my God. You are one perverted individual at times. You know, can I do that real quick? Hold on just a second.
The mind of a 12-year-old over here.
All right. We got him.
That's just my.
There he is right there.
That's a regular old hoodie.
Though.
That's a regular old hoodie for Jad.
Regular old hoodie right there. That's what
all right.
Is.
You guys can chime. Am I the only one in the world who didn't know this pineapple thing? Let me know. You can do that through the IHOP hotline, 869-1240, video comments as well, through Facebook, YouTube, X, and of course, watching us on 12 News Connected. Paul, as we go, you I feel like you're going to love stuff like this. So Texas football, Arch Manning has come in and been really good. Quinn Ewers looked like the Heisman favorite before he got hurt. Their numbers are both really impressive. Arch has been slightly better in pushing the ball down the field.
Right.
Ewers has been slightly more efficient, we'll call it. Their touchdown to interception ratios have been really good. They've both been basically really good. I was already surprised when Ewers came back and Texas didn't turn the page. Arch Manning, of course, has handled all of this brilliantly. Arch is probably a little bit better of a runner than Quinn Ewers, but he's never pressed or done anything like that. And, you know, his upbringing that probably doesn't surprise us. What would you do here? I mean, I think you go back to Ewers, don't you? You shouldn't lose your job to injury, especially when you were playing really, really, really well. But, and I don't think that you want to get into a timeshare with those two, but how do you handle this if you're Texas?
Yeah, isn't this interesting? Isn't this a great problem to have, by the way? There's a lot of colleges that would say, I'd take one of these guys, let alone two of them. And by the way, let's not forget Arch Manning. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last number I heard when he signed with Texas in NIL, wasn't it like $8.5 million? It was somewhere.
Oh, I don't know.
In that neighborhood. So,
Ewers is going to be high too, Paul.
Yeah,
remember, came back.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the point, I like your point, is what do you do? Here's part of the problem. Arch Manning, although he's looked really well, a few of the opponents that he's played, you know, we're not going to test him. We're not going to be teams that were going to give him great pass rush. We're not going to be teams that could defend on the back end as well as some of the teams that he's going to be playing in the SEC. So with that being said, yes, has he looked impressive? Yes, he looked like a really good quarterback. But he hasn't faced anybody yet That's about to come. And in fact, it's starting to come now. And but it's a tough question. But you're right. You got to start out with who you brung to the dance, don't you? Don't you got to at least start with that? And this is still going to be Ewers' position and his number one quarterback status. It's his to lose. And injuries can't do that. Texas is lucky to have an Arch Manning for a backup. Not everybody has, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the nation as a backup. And I'll tell you what, I admire Arch Manning. I really have a lot of respect for him because he's handled this with deftness, with aplomb, with graciousness, without any sort of exhibition of anger. I really admire the way he's handled it. I don't know if he's that way in the locker room, but I'll tell you what, I really have a great respect. I shouldn't be surprised. He comes from a quality family. You know, Arch Manning is his grandfather, wouldn't it? Being his grandfather. So this is really, he's handled it well. But, no, you got to go back to yours, I think, don't you, Jacob? You got to give him the start. When he's healthy, he gets the first start back. I think he does.
Yeah, I think you give it back to Ewers.
And got
I think,
to.
And I don't think it's even like a quick leash perspective or anything like that. I think you let him play. And it's hard because we just saw Alabama lose to Vanderbilt.
I know.
Like that just happened. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a lot of wiggle room there either if you're Texas. Mm-hmm. But it is a fascinating situation. Good problem to have, right? If you're a fan, like you got two good quarterbacks, good problem to have.
Right.
Not any big deal.
Oh,
there.
My gosh, yes.
Let's get to another national story that's been circulating around with, and then we'll come back with some more Royals talk. Robert Saleh, we've had, this happened right when we were on the air yesterday.
Right.
You've seen a statement now from Woody Johnson saying it was all his decision.
All him.
Nobody believes that, by the way.
No.
Whether it was his decision. What I don't think happened is Aaron Rodgers went to Woody Johnson on the flight back and said, hey, he's got to go, right? What I do think is it was a fractured relationship between Rodgers and Saleh that clearly pushed Woody Johnson to make the decision, whether anybody was asking for it or not. Anybody with two eyes could see that situation and know, that's not going to work. And again, I'm never an advocate for firing midseason. I'm never an advocate for, giving in to Rodgers and his demand. And I don't think these were demands, but at the same time, like if you can see this thing spiraling out of control and you know it's not going to work, don't you have to make a change? Mm-hmm. I really don't have any issue with what. And again, as we briefly mentioned yesterday, what are you going to do? Not play Aaron Rodgers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those millions of dollars of guaranteed money at the age of 40. I could tell that this was going to happen. I mean, we've all seen how many times, 50 times, maybe you've seen that hug between Aaron Rodgers and the head coach. And Aaron Rodgers definitely pushes him away. And it's not like, and of course, they made it out to be, well, it's like a joke, something was going on between them. But watch the facial expression of Aaron Rodgers. It's like, hey, get away from me, man. There's no funniness to it. There's no smile to it. There's no smirk to it for pushing him away. It was anger in the eyes. That's the very moment I knew that something was up between these two and something was going to happen between these two. These two had lost confidence in each other, and maybe Saul's not the one that lost confidence in Rodgers, but I guarantee you, Rodgers has for Saleh.
It's irrelevant, right? Why it's fractured? The point is, it's fractured.
It is fractured.
And again, if you have two eyes, it's Super Bowl or bust for the Jets this year.
But you can't.
That team ain't win.
You can't.
That team ain't winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can't tell me the owner didn't call Aaron Rodgers.
I can tell you that. He didn't have to.
Oh, he didn't have to. Maybe.
Because, you don't want to alienate him to everybody else on the team, even though they already suspect it and kind of feel that way. What you definitely don't want is anybody else on the team definitively saying Rodgers made that call. That's why Woody Johnson's out there front facing. But Woody Johnson made that call because of what he could see with his own two eyes. And this is not going to win a Super Bowl. So why not make a change? It's not like Saleh had all this success beforehand, right? He hasn't. He's like 20-36 with what most people would call a very talented roster. No, they haven't had a quarterback, but a lot of teams went in with you know, questions at quarterback at a little higher clip, especially when the defense has been that good and all these things. Robert Saleh is going to land on his feet. He's going to go be a D coordinator and be really good at it again. And maybe he'll get another chance. Let's get a quick phone call in here to the IHOP hotline that'll set us up, I think, for our final segment, which will be Royals talk. Monty on the line wants to chime in. Kevin Saul talking about those 85 Royals. Monty, a fond memory for you back in 85?
Oh, fantastic memory. I had the good fortune to go to three of those games at the K. I went to game one, game two, and game six. And game six, as he was talking about, was one of the most fantastic sports experiences because ninth inning, and George Order was called safe, but then Dingle, and the stadium, in a matter of a minute maybe, went from total despair to total ecstasy. It was incredible.
And it's playoff baseball. I think we lost an issue there. Yeah, we lost your money on your connection, but your point is good. That's playoff baseball, man. That's what makes it so great, the intensity. Even in, you know, watching that Dodgers-Padres game last night, man, it's just, you're sitting there in the, I think it was the eighth inning when they brought him in, and they bring on their closer and the lights go dark and everybody's phones light up and the, you know, it's just so good. Like when you think of drama in sports, and I hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankees. Don't get me wrong. As a fan, right? As a fan of a team that they knocked out of the playoffs, the only times the Rangers ever had the opportunity, and it wasn't very many, the Yankees are the team that could not even come close. When I think about drama in sports, it's pretty hard to top the drama of the late 90s Yankees.
Yeah, boy.
When they'd get the ball to Rivera, and it, like, oh, man. Playoff baseball, so good. So good. Royals get after it tonight. We're going to come back. We'll tell you about that game when we return on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Savage. Don't go away.
And 1240.
5:33 game coverage of the Royals begins tonight right here on KFH, your home of Royals baseball. The game starts at 6:08, a little earlier than we'd like, but they're playing all four games. So it's okay. We'll get there. It's just like a regular old East Coast game played in the Central Time Zone.
Right.
We'll get there. Try to get off work early if you can and follow along. Listen to it. You can also listen to it on the Odyssey app where you can find this show, podcasted version, there every day. Jad puts that up for you so you can go back and listen. You can also go back and watch on 12 News Connected. Get that app for your smart devices, your TV, whatever it is. And you can go back and you can watch the show as well. All right, Paul. A few minutes here. Final thoughts on the Royals tonight. Listen, I like their chances. I'm going to bet them. They've been a fruitful bet this postseason, typically because they're underdogs. Today, it'll be even money with the Royals. Right now, both teams right around even money. I like Lugo in the game. I'd like to see them get to Schmidt early. And it just feels like at some point you're going to get Bobby Witt Jr. waking up. Maybe that home run from Salvador Perez is the wake-up moment for him. And then, you know, these other unlikely contributors continue to just play major roles. 40-year-old Yuri Gurriel, 36-year-old Tommy Pham, and a lot of role players, Paul, who you just have confidence that they're going to be productive at the plate.
Right.
They're going to be productive.
Right. And of course, you can always count on, at least it seems like you can count on if anybody comes out of the bullpen, it seems like the Royals have that under control. I have a kind of a dilemma, though, because, you know, I don't like recording baseball because it's hard to watch baseball, you know, recording it if you miss something. I won't get home, Jacob, till about 7:15 with because of football practice. So I'm going to miss some of the Royals game. I mean, it's going to be must-watch TV, you know, particularly against the New York Yankees. Why wouldn't it be? But I'm really looking forward to and I guess my hopes are so high for a win. I guess I'm really going to come down for a letdown if the Royals don't pull this off and get a win tonight.
This game or this series?
No, this game. This game. Yeah. I got a lot of hopes, and you know, because I'm optimistic about the sending the Yankees home while we're still in Kansas City. I think that's possible. I've kind of put a lot of my mental wellness. I've invested into the fact that I want to see them in this thing in Kansas City.
I'm not ready to care about that yet, honestly. I just want them to win the series, and I don't think that it's like all this crazy pressure or anything, just like it wasn't in game two. And probably neither team feels that. If a team feels it, it would be the Yankees, but they feel that pressure every game they ever play. But it does, the energy feels good for Kansas City to me. The free and easy, excited to be here. And the strengths on, you know, the strengths of this team remain, right? We believe in their starting pitching. We believe in their middle of the lineup. And it's not been those two things yet that has carried them through this postseason, at least not in this series. It's been the bullpen, and it's been everybody else in the lineup. That's what gives me so much confidence, right? The two things that you would point to say this, the Royals' strength are these two things. It would be starting pitching, and it would be Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez in the middle of the lineup.
There you go.
They have this series tied at 1-1. And they haven't gotten much out of either of those two strengths. They've gotten their strengths out of everything else. Mm-hmm. That's why I like them. Mm-hmm. Because now these perceived weaknesses have become strengths in the postseason. Mm-hmm. If that times out right and you get the other two matching up with it, they're going to be a really hard team to beat this month. And so I'm not as hung up on tonight's game, because it's all about the entire process and the entire way for me. Mm-hmm. I do like them to win tonight, but I'm going to be panicked if they don't, because I don't think they'll be panicked.
Right. Well, the good news is that today's going to be a special day. If you like playoff baseball, this is the day for you. Starts about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's going to run till probably, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night?
I think I just saw they're opening it up for all the tailgating and pregame. I think they're opening the gates at 3:30. They want people in there early. They're going to celebrate, I would imagine. There's some tip of the cap or nod back to the, to the World Series Royals of this generation, the 15. I'll bet you they have something. I haven't seen that officially. That's what I would do if I were them.
Yeah.
Because that energy those years, I mean, was unmatched. But with, you had the celebrities out there in those runs. Maybe there's some of that, Paul Rudd and the kegger at his mom's house.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It's been a long time since, 30 years before. That is a little different than 9, but it has been a long time. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that is, I know these tickets have been cut by rolling. And if you're not up there, you can listen to it here on KFH.
That's
we'll
right.
Come back. We'll give you all those details as we wrap up this Wednesday edition of Sports Daily.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.